In today's episode, we talk about how Anne Robinson can help you on your fitness journey and why our clients piss us off. I just feel like they all possess these skills that they never practice, but just through, so like pub quiz type knowledge, you just pick shit up just as you go. But anyway, only as strong as your weakest link.
It's your point. Why don't you start us off?
So the reason I thought this, there's kind of two prongs to it. So there's a performance side to it, mm-hmm. where I've kind of been talking about to a lot of my CrossFit clients about this, where everyone has their strengths and weaknesses within it because it's so vast and there's so much shit going on. But then you can also take it back a layer from performance, and then you can go even just generally from people building their aesthetics, right? Mm-hmm. Or building their bodies. And then you can take it even back a layer, and then you can talk about like your surroundings or your environment, like as your partner, the person that's holding you back, is it your friends, is it your social circles? So we can all maybe hash each of those bits out individually. But the reason why I brought this up was because like I just recently injured my elbow, and then I was having a conversation with someone, and I also heard another phrase, weak things break. So I was like, did I injure myself because I lifted incorrectly, or did I injure myself because that area of my body was a weakness? Did mm-hmm. I neglect things like accessories? Did I neglect things like your rehab and prehab? Did I neglect things like mobility or recovery? So like it was just more so that. So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it as well, and then I can begin to flesh out my thoughts from a more performance perspective side of things.
I think from a kind of performance gym perspective and stuff is something that authentically, like I can speak about, I'm historically have been Mr. Injured for as long as you've known me. So maybe fucking 10
long
years.
Known
as long as you've known me as well, right? And a lot of that could be down to fucking my mechanics and whatever, but generally, it's from avoiding those weaknesses and like going into the gym, like especially when you're younger and you maybe don't know what you're talking about and whatever, and just, oh well, let's do chest.
Always. Do you know what, it's almost like your weaknesses most of the time feel a hindrance, feel that you can't be arsed working on them, you can't be arsed addressing them. They feel like just unnecessary things that you don't want to be doing, don't want to be addressing. Mm-hmm. And then that could probably be carried over to like maybe elements of your life or weaknesses. You don't like things that are maybe holding you back. It's the thought of addressing them becomes like it's a pain in the ass if I have to deal with that. I'd rather just keep doing the stuff that I'm doing.
It almost becomes overwhelming.
Yep.
At the fact,
in a sense, yeah. Yep. Exactly.
So we've spoke about this before, and it almost like that anxiety thing is this, the people get anxious about the things that they're avoiding the most. Mm-hmm. So it's like it can become those weakness things.
Yeah.
So like if people have terrible knees, for example, it's like how much rehab have you put in this week if you have to calculate it into minutes?
Yeah.
Can I
how many have you done this week?
I've not done any this week, right? But
it's Thursday, Evan.
But I ran from Manda's work at Cathkin to the wee gym in East Kilbride on concrete.
That's uphill. Mostly.
And I can walk today.
Wow.
So
did Sarah seen you?
Did she?
Aye.
I was dying in the side of the road.
Seen everybody. I was
trying to flag down a lift.
Ran in my stomach.
But the point I'm making is that like when you kind of plant say you do have a weakness like with your boy or whatever, and it's an injury or whatever, the day you plant the seeds, not when you like pick the fruit, right? So the rehab that I've been doing for a long time is now starting to pay off, because once upon a time, I couldn't walk down the stairs in pure gym. Like I'm not even kidding on, right? I had to get the lift, I was probably a wee bit overweight as well, right? Because I couldn't run, I couldn't do anything, I was sad, blah, 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 right? But
I was sad, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but imagine being like a PT that needs to get the lift down in the gym, like what that looks like.
Yeah, totally. And it's funny as well sometimes where the amount of work required in order to fix a problem isn't as big as sometimes people think. The main hurdle becomes the actually start of the thing itself. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, I'll wait until my knee's better, then I'll start doing like my rehab work, or I'll wait until my elbow starts to feel a wee bit better. Whereas a lot of the times when it comes to the performance side of things, like what I've learned is that a lot of movement is medicine in a way. Mm. So like, the more you're moving, the more you're active, the more banded tricep or hamstring curls that you're doing, like that actually in turn helps you. And then like you said, you often get to a few weeks down the line when you're not really expecting it, you get to pick that fruit and you're like, huh. Mm-hmm. But then this is the next thing that comes in.
And then
because you're feeling better, what ends up happening?
Jump in too soon, don't you?
Not even just that. You end up not doing the things that were making you feel good in the first place.
Good point, yeah.
So it's not that, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link, so you just work on it for like a couple of weeks, you get there, and then you're good, and then you need to forget it. You need to continue to do it day in, day out.
Yeah, it just needs to become part of your routine. But just before you go on your point there, something that I've noticed from the population that I work with is, and I know this is like an added expense, but it's like the reluctance or the reluctance to go to see a physio.
Oh yeah.
Right. See the amount of clients that I've had over the years, right? And they come to me, the trainer, oh, I've got this problem. And I say, go to a physio.
Mm-hmm. I've had that conversation so many times.
Go to the physio, get the person that deals with the body to sort it, and then come back to the person that deals with the training to then sort it. But see, sometimes it takes you 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 conversations with somebody.
I'm going through it right now with two clients. Right now.
Name and shame.
Not doing it. But fucking get to a physio. Nah. It's a pain in the ass, man. Because I'm like, well, I can only help you so much right now because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you don't know what's going on. We're playing a guessing game. We're wasting more fucking time.
Exactly.
And this is what happens. You just waste time. Don't address it. You waste time. Yeah. And it just continues. And then probably gets worse.
I think it comes from that whole avoidance thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, the more you avoid it, the worse it gets as well.
You're comfortable doing it, aren't you?
And it's just one of those things that, again, we'll have areas in, whether it be our performance, life or business, that we'll be avoiding. And being like, oh, so this is why I was thinking, like, it doesn't just apply necessarily to performance or fixing a sore elbow or fixing a sore knee. It's like there's other weaknesses within your training or within your life or within your worker relationships that also can be addressed, but people just are afraid to do it because the thought of doing it is bigger than the actual doing it itself.
Because back to that, I think we said it last week with the anxiety thing. Was it last week, the week before we're talking about it? You think about it and build up in your head for something that might take 48 seconds and it wasn't that bad.
48 seconds.
You've loved it twice.
Very accurate amount of time.
It's precise.
Sometimes are quick, do you know what I'm saying? And it is like you've built up in your head beforehand and all that and made it a bigger deal, make it worse. You've loved it twice, that's what you said.
Yeah, exactly. See, the thing is as well, with it, it's not sexy. So see all the work that you know that needs doing and whatever, all the stuff that you're avoiding and all, a lot of the times it's not sexy. So then when you maybe look at somebody's program, you're like, right, okay, but you've done your bench press, I'm making it up, you've done your squat, you've done this, but you didn't do your rehab at the end of your session or the start, whenever you put it in. Oh, I didn't have time. Right? That's the thing you should be prioritizing right now. Do you know what I mean? So you make time for the things you prioritize, and that applies to anything. So see if like people ever not get time for this just because you're not prioritizing it. But I bet you if it's something like fucking going out for cocktails with the girls, you'd find time for that.
Love that.
It's funny that you mentioned that, right? So I had a client who was notoriously just not doing a lot of their accessory work that was going to help them with some of the problems that they were having. Get to the end of the session, but I don't have any time. I was too busy focusing on the big sexy stuff, the snatching or the cleaning jerks and the workouts and all the rest of it. So instead of me just tacking at the end of their training accessories and then a list of things that I needed them to do,
just put it on.
I put it in at the start. And then I said, like, workout one. So I called it workout one or workout A. And then I listed, like, a 10-minute AMRAP at 75%, and then just wrote down the accessory movements, right? But just made it like a workout and then put it at the start. And I went, do this, but just do it at 75%. It's kind of like a warm-up workout. But it was all the things that was at the accessory bit. I just stuck it at the start. And then they still managed to complete all the rest of the stuff within the time that I told them to do it. So when you mentioned that, it made me think about this one person.
You use Jedi mind tricks.
Literally. And then there was another thing as well. So Andy and James were missing out a lot of it, and I just changed what was said accessories. I changed accessories to gains. And I'm like, James is like, makes me want to do it now rather than doing accessories. Okay. So it's also the way that you could potentially, as if other coaches are listening to this, to like trying to get that, if their clients are going through the same thing, just like reframing it in that person's brain, being like, instead of this is the boring work that you need to do, like, tart up mm-hmm. a wee bit, play some Jedi Mind.
Do you know what, actually, that's actually a really good point as well, because see, especially if people have been like working with you for a while, right, or you've been on your program or whatever, right, and you're right, okay, I'm getting my new workouts, and they're titled, and this is a very small difference, but they're titled like workout one, mm-hmm. workout two, full body A, mm-hmm. conditioning C, all that. That's boring as shit.
Yeah.
But see, as soon as you tart something up a little bit and you call it Big Booty Builder Mayhem 1, right? I send that to all my guy clients, right? But then that's exciting, right? Yeah. But basically what you're actually kind of doing with that is you're turning it from like, these are my workouts, to like, this is like my mission, or this is like something. So it's actually like, this is a cool, this is my fucking whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you don't like training, I think that, or you don't find it the most sexy, enjoyable thing,
I think that definitely time. That 100% works. But then it also works for people that love training. There's aspects of their training that they're just neglecting.
No, that's
the exact same thing.
The word I was looking for was project. It turns into this project. Like I can't remember Mark. Like I actually got it from Mark Strathairn, and like he called mine like
shout out Mark,
like ginormous Ev or something like that. When I was trying to get a bit bigger and just various wee things like that. I know, when I was trying to get bigger, and it didn't happen.
That's quite cool, actually. It's funny that the way, as soon as you start to reframe something, that mm-hmm. people just instantly have a... There was something I was going to mention off the back of what you said. It'll pop back into me. Anyway, pop back into me.
Pop back, hey.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Yeah, keep...
Do you know that is my third coffee of today? I was So see, when I sat down and I started, I was kind of halfway through that, I was like, my heart's going a bit fast. I've had a double shot latte, two, one in the house, one on the go, and then a wee iced coffee there as well. I know, which is fucking, it's a lot. Which is mad.
I've had a single espresso.
So see in terms
wait
of
a minute.
Like,
a single espresso?
I think it's a single.
Why would you have a single espresso?
I just call it a single espresso, but it's because I make it. I just go once. Could be twice. Could be the amount of two. Who knows? Who even knows how to measure that? You know what I mean?
Most people.
I just scoop it in. Goosh. Flatten it.
You're good at your sound effects today. Goosh.
Aye.
I'm just wondering. It's an odd like metric.
I call it a single.
Like,
right?
See if you're getting
an
espresso.
One scoop. You know what a black scoop you get with your coffee and you... It's like... Did you get that? Is that a global measurement?
Yeah, maybe.
One of them.
Right, okay.
Is that a single?
Who knows?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Have you got two nibs out your coffee machine?
Yeah,
two nubbins.
So if you get two nubbins, uh-huh. sometimes like just one nubbin is a single shot, then the second nubbin is a double shot.
I don't know if mine is like high tech enough for that. Do you know what I mean?
Whatever,
it just comes out the double nubbin.
Going to move on. Still chatting about kind of weakest links and stuff, and this is probably maybe more, well, it's a bit applicable to your guys and to the people that you work with, but maybe more towards me and you, like kind of environmental kind of factors and stuff like that. And a lot of you've obviously got a very kind of performance heavy and like client base environment, the people that you work with, your message and all that. Like for me, yours is probably a little bit more than mine. A lot of my clients are very much kind of lifestyle, mm-hmm. like...
That's going to be their weakest links a lot of the time.
Yeah, so a lot of the times the problem is that like my client's environment, right? And this could be like environment at work, right? That it's not setting you up for success, right? That could be your weakest link, right? But in the same breath as that, it could be at home, it could be like your partner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was actually having a conversation with one of my clients the other day, and like that their partner made like a kind of off comment to them or something along the lines of, oh, you're going to fail anyway, kind of like that's
aye.
Like that sort of,
really?
Yeah, maybe it's, but the thing is as well, so from, and I don't agree with it, but like from the partner's perspective and whatever, if they've seen someone try so many times and fail, they're not bought into their new vision and like whatever my client wants to go, because we fucking tried all these things anyway, you're gonna fail again, right? Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes, that is the conversation that you need to have with the people in your life. You need to have that hard conversation, that you could be avoiding having that conversation as well, and then when you avoid it, it gets bigger and it gets worse and whatever. But you need to articulate to people how important your journey is to you to address that weakest link, because if at home, if someone's not fully on board, chances are your journey's going to be a lot harder than, it's like, imagine somebody trying to feed you like a calzone every single night, because that's what they're having.
I'll take
I'll take it.
I'll take that deal. It's a damn good deal. I'll take that deal.
But you must have kind of similar experiences to that.
Definitely. I think it's just like you need to get buy-in from the people closest to you in your life. But even out with that, you need to be quite firm yourself with people. If people are trying to encourage you to go another way, you need to be firm with them. Saying, nah. You don't need to be nice to people that only that are trying to encourage you to do stuff you want to do. You don't need to be nice to them. Why? Why be like, oh, no, and explain yourself. You do not need to. You just be fucking straight down the line, because people are less likely to try and then encourage you to get up to stuff, especially like the weekends. I see it. A lot of my clients, their big struggle is social occasions, is weekends, is dealing with peer pressure. And peer pressure is a real thing. Like it really is a real thing. I very quickly, in my late 20s, was like, I actually don't give one bit of a fuck about, like, I didn't get any peer pressure. No one could encourage me to do it. With gear and stuff like that, still had mates at the time who were very much into it. It's a big thing in the UK. After I was probably 26, 27, I could easily just be like, nah. And that was it. It was since then, it wasn't like, oh, maybe. It was just nah. And I stopped becoming an expectation of he's going to do that, and more an expectation if he's not going to do that.
I can speak on that quite heavily. If I rock up to the pub with my mates, they know now, obviously, with the whole fucking 75 hard thing, but like, even if I'm not doing that, like, normally if I'd rock up, if I was like 10, 15 minutes late, there'd be a pint waiting there. See, now there isn't, because like, we don't know if we're going to get you one or not, because we don't know if you're drinking or not yet. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to have a couple. And they'll be like, right, okay. Do you know what I mean? So the expectation of even alcohol, never mind that, is like drastically went down. And that's just through the
example.
Like, you say no once, you get the piss taken out of you, and you'll maybe, you say no again, same thing happens. If you say no for like third, fourth or fifth time, it's going to become, that's going to become 100%.
It's sticking through to what's good for you and what you want to do. And with the full environment thing, I was kind of talking about the other day in my story, like a lot of time it can come across that we're maybe saying avoid certain environments, but that's never the case. It's how do you change how you act in the environments? That's all you need to do. So people think you need to avoid environments. Is that how I get the progress? Is that how I get the body? Is that how I become a healthier individual? Is it I avoid going out in nights out? No. Change how you act in them. Just change your standards around them.
I was talking to my mate Dean Fanny. Shout out Dean. I don't even know if he listens. But I was talking to him yesterday, and he's nearly 10 months without a drink. And he was like, easy do a year. He's a PT as well. He's like, easy do a year. And then after that, I'll have like a good blowout with my mates. And he's like, I love like going out with my pals. That's what you're saying. And I was like, me too. And he was like for me, he's like, oh, well, what I was saying to him is that I went out for my cousin's birthday. He's 30th, just last Saturday there. Shout out Lewis. In fact, he was mad at dinner. He was like, you've never fucking shouted me out in the podcast. So there you go. There's your fucking shout out. Knob. But for me, I was like, I'm coming out for dinner because I love going out for steak. And then I was like, I'll just like hang about and I'll just drink soda water limes. Like, and I've got no issue like being out, staying out, as long as they're staying out. Like, to be fair, if I wasn't driving everyone, I'd have left a little bit earlier so I could be like, get home and get up. And then get home to like fucking, to be fair, at like 1 o'clock, I was fucking struggling at that point. I was considering getting the sugar-free Red Bulls in, but like, I actually now enjoy going out. I know.
I thought it was considering getting a wee bag.
Still not booze, so but I was considering like just fucking getting on the Red Bulls and try to stay up a wee bit, but I was like, nah, we just, but for me, like, I actually enjoy now going out sober, because it's now become a bit of a fun game for me to just look at everyone and just like people watch and just be like, you take things in from a bit of a different perspective. Definitely. Do you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, like, see the next morning, you wake up, like, I've found that I still wake up feeling pure
hungover,
a bit groggy, like a bit hungover, like whether that be down to the lack of sleep, whether you've been drinking like fucking too many Coke Zeros or something like that, and you feel a wee bit like, I don't know, dry mouth the next morning. So I'm like, you're still getting the same shite from staying out late, except I've just probably saved myself like 150 quid from just not boozing. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, I genuinely don't know how people go out once or twice a week, every week.
Crazy.
I have.
Do you don't know
crazy. How they more about having any money? Well,
like over this past year, my relationship with alcohol and all that has kind of, I've been mad a couple of times, don't get me wrong, but I'm very much like you. I'm not doing 75 hard just now, but I'm really, I don't really drink anymore. Like, me and you had a couple of drinks at the Scotland game, but that was the first time in months that I've drank. But see, going out sober, I have a very, very small tolerance of drunk people.
Yeah.
Like, tiny.
I've worked on that,
and
though.
I can't hide it.
Yeah.
I can't hide it. I tell folk, like, you're bugging me. Like, what do you mean? I'm bugging you. You get away from me.
The most pissed I seen you was after Murrayfield. I've never actually seen you much drunker than that before.
I was hammered.
I can't remember.
And you?
I can't remember how drunk he was.
Because you were that you
were so drunk. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Because Murrayfield and then the Scotland game was the only two times. But Murrayfield, I'd really hadn't ate a lot.
Played a game.
Had a burrito, right? And then it was, oh, let's get the drinks in. Yep. And I was hammered.
Mad. And I guess this is a good...
Don't you have seen me steaming before?
No, it's because you lie. No.
I've only seen you drink three times.
I was like, I did lie to you, actually.
I thought I was having a drunk conversation with you. You're sitting drinking soda water and lime.
Yeah, it's good.
See, it works. It soda good. Water lime trick, man.
I think I was the only person that knew you wanted to drink.
Nah, the boys did.
Did the boys know as well? I thought you were keeping it today.
Nah, the boys did as well. To be fair,
I remember.
No, I had two. I had two drinks. So I had, Roddy got me a pint, and then I got a pint of Guinness in that pub afterwards. But then after that, I didn't
drink. After 75 hard, are you going to...
I won't send it, but I'll have a couple of drinks. I would send. Because I did it when I did a long stint of not drinking before Hattie's birthday, from my birthday to Hattie's birthday.
3 months or something?
4 months, I think. I can't remember. October, November, December, January. 4 months. I did that, and then see when I had my first pint after it, I was pure. I had a couple, and I was like, whatever. Like, I wasn't fussed.
I think I remember you saying that.
Genuinely wasn't fussed for it.
Are we quite happy with... What was there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, one more very quickly on the strongest your weakest link type thing. When it comes to performance, like, environmental factors still matter as well to even like the performance style people. Do you know what I mean? Because like, and it's not so much maybe the external pressures from their friends or from work, because they can probably generally handle them. It's more so the training environment that they're in. So if they're training, they're trying to maybe like get like better at CrossFit, for example, but they're training in a pure gym, bit of a shite environment to be around, it's harder. You can do it 1,000,000%, and most of them, some of them, it's going to be a little bit harder than others, just due to kit or space or time or busyness or whatever. But again, even if you're training in like a JD, you're going at 7 o'clock and it's fucking mobbed. So like, the weakest link could be in your environment or the people that you're training with.
Yeah.
Do you know what, I've actually like, I totally agree with that point as well. So let's sit from a CrossFit perspective, right? See, if you are the best CrossFitter in the room, you need a different room.
Yeah. Oh, aye. Do you know what I mean? 1,000,000%.
So see, if you are like want to get better at CrossFit and you're going to a pure gym and you're the best there, right? Your growth will be limited.
Fucking mate, 1,000,000%.
Bye. Because
I'm like bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
Like between
in this room.
I'm like fucking, I'm not that good, right? But then if I did go to like a pure gym, for example, a burpee box, jump overs, walk on my hands, people think I'm fucking Matt Fraser. But I am definitely really not. Really not.
I am not Matt Fraser.
Fuck, it's Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne. Really not. Bottom of the barrel. So that's huge.
Yeah.
But again, it's a fine balance, because people who are new to the game can see like all the crazy shit that's happening in like an open gym, a CrossFit gym, and be like, what the fuck is going on in here? And it could be overwhelming.
Aye.
Or you could be someone who's somewhat in the middle and can see it and be inspired by it and be like, I'm going to try and chase that down. Yeah. So yeah, you're definitely right. But I think I couldn't have said that point any better. And I'm frustrated because you can soundbite it and I can't.
It's happened a couple of times with CrossFit.
It has happened a couple of times. You've completed CrossFit though, completed, so that's fucking it. Anyway, that's
moving
that's,
on.
Yeah, we move on.
So,
I feel like that.
Another thing that you wanted to bring up as well is like,
well, here's the thing. All the ideas are my good ideas.
It's not quite true. But pet peeves.
Oh yeah. Shit, right, okay.
And your kind of niche and whatever. So kick us off.
Right. So, in fact, it's funny that you mentioned earlier on about calling things like Big Booty, Avalanche, whatever the fuck you called it.
Avalanche, you said Avalanche.
Whatever you called it, right? So, one of my biggest fucking pet peeves within CrossFit is people, just random folk, naming workouts. I can't fucking stand it. So, say for example,
this is
right?
my Godzilla pyramid.
Aye, so like this workout's called Godzilla. It's a 15 calorie row, 15 wall balls. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? Why are you naming that? It's just a workout. Like, see the Franz and the
Murphs.
And the Murphs, they're named for like a reason. So, yep. like, Murph and all these other ones, they're named after veterans who have like lost their lives in battle, and it's a workout to commemorate or to remember them, essentially. That's what those workouts are known for. And like there's a series of workouts that are called the Girls, and they're kind of classic CrossFit workouts like Fran and Cindy and
Helga
and Isabel and all these sorts of things, right? So they're like kind of benchmark workouts that people test and retest again. So it's like, leave them alone. See your wee shitty fucking kettlebell swing, calorie row, box jump thing. Yeah, it might be the best workout ever. Just fucking call it a 10 or 15 or 20 minute AMRAP, whatever the fuck it is. Don't call it Avalanche Godzilla
Avalanche 5000.
Like, who gives a fuck? Just stop naming workouts.
Do you know, is there people that are doing it?
Ah, see it all the time.
Just call them out.
Nah, man.
To
be fair, I couldn't even probably tell you like off the top of my head.
Seen it happen.
But I see it all the time. Like, there'll be people I follow on Instagram, and then they're like, fucking top table. And I'm like,
fuck off.
Off the top turnbuckle. I'm like, especially these Americans. These Americans as well. Another thing that fucking bugs me.
These damn Yanks.
Mostly Americans, right? And then it's even like guys at the top of the sport. And it's everything is down to Jesus. I want to thank Jesus for this workout win. The fuck you thanking him for? He wasn't the fucking cunt on the assault bike putting in the reps. You were, you dick. Jesus get fuck all to do with that. So I like, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. It does my nothing. And then people like typing big messages out and being like, putting like a Bible verse at the bottom. You want to be religious? Be religious. Mm-hmm. I respect you, right? 100%. But don't fucking do a 10 minute workout, write a Bible verse, and then thank God for it. Nobody gives a fuck, right? It's not God doing any of this shit.
Apart from all the other Christian CrossFitters.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it fucking does my nothing. I hate it. I see it all the time. And then I'm starting to see people do it now who weren't even religious in the past, but just because fucking Rich Ronan's doing it, he's got Galantis tattooed on him, people think it's cool. It's not cool. It's a three-letter word.
Weird.
Yeah.
Can you spell Galantis?
Weird. Do you know, it's bugging me that I've seen make a kind of resurgence. Is that the word? Yep, resurgence. Is like the relaxed... non-relaxed
resurgence. It's no fucking stopped.
But I didn't see it for a wee, right? Yeah. It really fucked me off, man. So there's this girl, and she posted one of them. So like, this is my body, right? 3 weeks ago, right? And then she posted another one, right? My problem with it is, and some people, so I actually put up like something on my story, and some people were really for it, right? Obviously because they can maybe relate to it and all that. That's fine, right? And then some people were against it. It's just for likes.
Of course.
I think that the message about, so see like the first person like on the whole of Instagram that maybe done it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? That's a good message. Then maybe also some people that have a big platform that maybe post it once. Mm-hmm. That's a good message, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. See if you're constantly posting shit like that. Like, oh, this is my body, right? All the fucking time. You're doing it for likes, you're not doing it to help people.
People crave likes, but they crave it, man. And then they'd maybe do something that would have actually impacted someone, doesn't get likes, never do that type
people
of post.
People are maybe
again,
doing
never.
It for reassurance, though. Like,
yeah, it could be.
Or like, oh, you look great, well done. Like, people are potentially doing it so that they feel reassured in themselves
likes,
rather than helping others. Mm-hmm. Feel reassured because the other person watching that might see it and go like that, oh my god, even at their worst, like, they still look absolutely incredible, except that I'm this like fat bag of shit. Do you know what I mean? So in turn, you end up helping no one but yourself. You're a selfish fucking arsehole. So
did you see some of them in the like trying their hardest to get a few creases at their belly, and it's fuck all there. You're like, oh, come
you
on.
Look absolutely fine. You're like, just stop, stop it. Stop it. Behave yourself.
I know, it's nonsense. But I think as well, anybody that isn't aware that if you just sit down, people have like, well, I think if you're unaware of that, you're a bit of a numpty. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If you sit down and you're obviously not going to be having, even people with six packs, you sit down, you're not really going to see it if you're sitting down, no. Unless you're like Liver King.
Yeah, man, I'm in the fucking row of my tap off and I'm like, I feel like a wee fat podger, man. Because it just kind of hangs air the tap of the shot, man.
In fact,
man,
I know, like, oh. I need a reel, and then I was on the assault bike and I was leaning forward and I was like, I could see abs, but then I could also see the lower part of my stomach hanging over my shot a wee bit, and I'm like,
did it?
Fat a wee bit. What was happening there? I'm going to post less bike videos.
Yeah. You'll start to get your good angles and all that.
Yeah, start to get the angles.
Only post the bit in the bike. Only post the bike bit when you're sitting on it initially and never actually doing it.
Never actually doing it. So, I don't do much on it anyway, to be fair.
I've been doing bike egg a lot. No, a lot of assault bike, man. Or echo bike. It's fucking rough. But something's been annoying me, right? And I seen this lassie, this coach, post it. And it blew my mind, and I feel like I've seen his other videos like it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, again, like maybe a resurgence of people talking about fat burn workouts, right? And she was talking about the Stairmaster, and this is the right level you want to work on, girls, because this is the fat burn zone, right? And I was like, get yourself to fuck. Like, nobody cares if they're burning fat or carbohydrates in a workout. They care if they're losing fat overall. Right, that's who she's talking to, fat loss, burning fat, carbohydrates. Like, people just don't have a fucking clue what's what, and then you've got people out there making it look like they're going to be losing fat if they're on a Stairmaster at a certain level, or what was the other one, the treadmill or something like that, level 13 five. Or something like that.
James Smith did a really good video,
fuck you TikTok,
on that, kind of like breaking that down and being like, parts of what this man is saying is true, but the way that the video is misleading, and it's not 100% accurate, because it's like, there is, if you're working out a low intense like state, you are using more fats ketones, for whatever, but it's like the way that he's saying it, that it's just like, it's totally misleading.
Thing,
like,
it's
you might be using fat for energy,
thing.
But you're not burning
two
fat
different
or
things.
Losing it. It's two completely.
You're not losing, if you're burning fat for energy, it doesn't mean you're losing fat. You need to be in a calorie deficit for that to happen, but you've got people that are promoting workouts as fat loss, fat burning type workouts. Even if they're not saying fat loss and they're saying fat burning, still misleading, because people are going to think, I'm going to get leaned in this workout right now.
I think the thing that lacks from TikTok fitness is context. Mm-hmm. So like, where we learned and consumed a lot of our knowledge about fitness was through mostly longer form content.
Bodybuilding.com.
Whether that be articles on bodybuilding.com or T-Nation. Bodybuilding.com, T-Nation, and YouTube. All longer form stuff.
Cali muscle a wee bit as well.
So things generally had more context. So we kind of got a lot of our knowledge pre-TikTok era, whereas a lot of people now are like, that's their main source of knowledge comes from a 7 second, 12 second, 15 second clip where someone has to like elevate a pitch style, be like, lose fat, do 45 minutes of Stairmaster, goodbye. And then they're like, okay, do you know what I mean?
That's what I need to do.
And this comes out to people, a lot of people emulate people, and you see a lot.
People copy other people's videos rather than like
exactly
the source of what the video exactly where mm-hmm. they got it from, for example, like instead of resorting to the source, yep, resorting to the Bible, they resort to the person that's told in the story, and it's almost like Chinese whispers.
That's it.
And then you just like lose more and more context as more and more fucking idiots end up posting these videos. Do you know what I mean?
There's a video out there showing that firsthand, someone videoing a Chinese whisper right through to the end
really?
Of the line, and it's like a completely different
story. I think it's like fitness Chinese whispers.
That'd be a good episode, but
that would be a good episode.
I want to expand on that, not expand on it, but change it slightly. Pet peeves mm-hmm. in terms of like your clients or people that you work with. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Or like the population that you work with.
Yes. I've got one, but very quickly before I go into that, uh-huh, I've got pet peeves about people, and there's two avenues to it. PTs or people that use cuffs, right, for lateral raises. Stop it. I've got bigger shoulders than you and I've never done that in my life, right? Stop it. And then the second thing is attaching D handles to fixed machines. Also stop it.
Also stop it.
Also stop that. Why? Right, the machine is made, like, made for that movement. Flies, perfect example, right? Why do you feel like you need to attach two D handles to two handles to do the fly? Better contraction, better this, better that. No, you don't. It's not required whatsoever. It's a fucking...
Fugazi.
It's a fugazi, it's a fugazi. It's just a fucking someone done it. Chinese whispers, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. Oh, I got a better contraction in my chest. Shut the fuck up, mate. Did Arnold do it? Did Dorian Yates do it? No.
They also done a lot of questionable stuff, though.
Saw all these fucking donuts on TikTok.
Yeah.
So they're not God knows what as well, right? They still look like shit. So...
Yep.
Forget, aside from the fact that they look like shit or not, right? They might even look better. They might look amazing, right? But you don't need to you don't need cuffs and you don't need to attach D handles to fix machines. Stop it.
You're focusing on the wrong things.
On the wrong things. It's like putting a barbell on a leg press.
Yeah.
Why would you need to do that?
Remember, there was a video kit about a guy doing a 45 degree leg press and used to shoulder press as well.
I shouldn't do
shock
that.
The system.
Shock the system. Do you want me to jump in? Do you want to jump in?
You can.
I've still got another. So, who's making all these recipes? Who is actually making them? Because I see them all the time. Coaches, you post them all the time. Who's making these recipes, man?
Like, who's got time to make all these?
I fucking never made a recipe for a TikTok or a reel in my life. I don't even watch them through. So I'm like, fantastic, you made a fucking chicken fajita wrap. Well done.
No,
and people
fair,
are fucking daff for them, man.
I watch them.
People are horny for it.
Never do them. Like, I
never. Who's
them.
Actually doing them? See if you message me and I'll shit. I can't believe that you'd actually do it.
I know.
There's just so many.
It's that whole thing. Do you know, actually, that this could be one of my pet peeves for people in my niche or whatever is, oh yeah, I'll do that later.
Mm.
Oh, I'll save that. I'll do
how
that
many
later.
Are they lighting it? They're saving it.
Right.
Never going back to it.
You know, I actually put a post in my group today about that exact thing, like lying to yourself and saying, oh, I'll do that later. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You need to stop it. My last pet peeve before we move on, like in a client one, is unnecessary banded warm-ups. Right. But I work in like a kind of, I don't work in a gym. I train from like a kind of bodybuilding gym because I actually really, really like it. Right, it's brilliant setup and all that, and it's always really, really quiet. See the fucking workout, the warm ups that they all do with their bands, and they take about 40 minutes.
Yeah,
do I need to stretch my lat?
Maybe this is why your knees are fucked. Maybe you need to start hearing a wee bit merit, mate.
I
don't know. I don't shit in it because
you're getting called the fuck out. He does that.
I know, but do you know
you do that?
I've not used bands and
no,
stuff.
No, mate, you sit there for you warm up for about 40 minutes.
No. Look, listen,
it does.
Let me jump in.
It does.
Let me save myself here. I was going to mention it. I just going to forget. I've been injured this full year. Tore my rotator cuff. My knee get fucked because my calf had popped, and I've got like a fucked up shin somehow.
Another made up thing.
No, that's genuinely fucked, right? So I've been doing the things. This is what we're going to say. You talk about the not doing the things. I was injured in my back for 10 years consistently, year at a time, couldn't train and all that. So I'm the person that does do the stuff you're meant to fucking do. Mm-hmm. So my rehab for my shoulder alone is 25 minutes, not including my knee, not including just warming up and mobilizing my other end of my body. So I've been taking 2 hours a day the one time, and I've not been able to get a second session and not been able to get extra cardio in because I've been sacrificing it for my rehab. That's what's been happening.
Sounds
that's why
like,
I'm in the gym for so long.
Sounds like excuses.
But I still did the workout. No, so regardless of all this shit I'm doing, I'm still
all
grafting.
All I see is I'm fucking doing like some lunges to like a wee mat on the floor and like rolling.
Yep.
And by that point, I've done like 6 workouts.
10 workouts.
How's your elbow?
A lot better.
But was it?
A
how did
better.
It go? Maybe. Do you,
a lot
like,
better.
Do you know what I mean? I still put the work in. Maybe I can't work out as much as I want to because of injuries, because I'm having to focus on. That's it.
Yeah. Here, that's fine. The key words and what I said was unnecessary though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you want it, if you are going to do that, it needs to be, as long as it needs to be, but as short as possible.
The minimum effective dose.
Boom.
That was a good idea.
There you go. Listen to these cunts. Do what you enjoy. Do what you enjoy.
If you enjoy
some bands,
if you enjoy
fucking
rolling about the floor for 45 minutes, hey, be my guest.
I actually don't.
Be my guest. It's fitted, bro. Honestly.
I don't.
I think I had one
but
more
it needs
thing.
To be done. And this is the full point, right?
Bro, drop it. Drop it. There was one thing that I wanted to talk about. We're talking about pet peeves within our niche.
Yeah.
People within CrossFit 100% do too much too often.
Yes.
So like you get someone that does the conditioning class and then the normal class and then they go to JD and then they strength train and then they try and like get a zone to work out in on top of that. Like they do too much, and that's coming from the guy that's training twice a day, every day, 7 days a week. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They just do too much. Mm-hmm.
More isn't always better.
More isn't always better. And obviously you guys will have the opposite issue, but one of the biggest problems and biggest kind of pet peeves I have is that I always have to pull people back mm-hmm. from the gym, reduce their training time, reduce their training load, reduce the things that they're doing.
That problem.
Right? Literally start taking things off. And then people, they post in their stories, they're in the gym on a Thursday on rest day, like posting, doing shit that I never, I'm like, what are you
doing? They start doing it in secret, like,
yeah.
Crack.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, you know, take some time off. So I think that, and again, this isn't everyone, obviously. This is like a select bunch of people, but they get into it, they fall in love with it, and then they just do too much. And then doing too much is going to hinder that progress. So like, that's one of the things that I probably have to do.
I do as well a lot now, man. Christopher, if you're listening to this,
does too much.
Listen to Jordan.
you behave yourself, Chris.
Aye. Christopher, nah,
you've
got
better.
The line team,
you've got better, mate. You've got better.
If you have a point, very, very quickly.
No,
are you happy with that?
My pet peeve or whatever from in relation to kind of my niche probably be aiming far too small.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I would have thought they would like, I'm going to lose 10 stone.
No. So I work with a lot of people that potentially do. That might be the deep goal. Oh, I really want to lose X amount of weight and I want that my life to look like this and I want blah, blah, blah. They undershoot it far too much and they settle for, I just want to feel a little bit better. I just want to feel a little bit whatever. And the problem with that is that there's no oomph with that. Yeah. That's not a deep fucking reason and a driving force behind you actually achieving something that's fantastic with your life. Yes.
If your goals are just to tone up a wee bit.
I get that all the time. Some people, I just want to get a wee bit stronger. And I just want to get a wee bit
just a wee
and
bit.
And I'm like, so I actually made a tweet on this.
And you have 2 minutes.
Right.
Less than.
Realistic goals set to the average ambition level are uninspiring and will only fuel you through the first or second hurdle, at which point you will throw in the towel. If the potential payout is average or mediocre, so is your level of effort.
That was too long for me, man.
Also, it's a quote from a book, but super applicable to this.
Mm-hmm,
so, like, I'll say it one more time. Right? Realistic goals set to the average ambition level are uninspiring and will only fuel you through the first or second hurdle, at which point you'll throw in the towel. This is the most important part. If the potential payout is average or mediocre, so is your level of effort. So like if the goal was to lose, I just want to lose like 2 pounds, you're going to put in 2 pounds worth of effort towards that.
That's like great. A big shite.
Do you know what I mean? Aye. Yeah. Whereas if you're like, I want to lose 5 stone, you're going to give that 5 stone worth of effort.
Yep.
Potentially.
Huge. Wrap up there.
Happy with that?
Yep.
Boom. That was episode 48. Eight of the No Rep podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, guys. If you gained any form of value from that whatsoever, you need to pay the man. You know,
don't be
a hoe.
Share the show.
And do your usual stuff, like, comment, share. Give us a review on Spotify as well, actually. That helps a lot. We have crossed the 10,000, the 10K mark, whether that be listens or downloads, I don't know. We've crossed that mark.
Let's go.
So let's go to 20.
Here we go.
Boom. Peace, guys.
Ciao.
Lebosh.